Let's go ahead and start the Vanguard Academy board meeting for this Tuesday, April 20. Wow, this is the wrong
date. Did I put the wrong date?
Sorry, those are left. Sorry.
That one's...
It is.
That's still wrong, whoops.
Yeah, it's still the wrong date. So it's Tuesday, September 26th of 2017.
I wonder if I printed off the wrong ones.
Is that the right agenda?
We'll go ahead and start
the agenda. Looks like I might have the wrong date on it, but we'll correct that. why don't we go ahead and start with the roll call? This is Kent Johnson, board chair.
Eric Freeman, board member.
Kim Mangum, board member.
Dave Kingston, vice chairman.
Grace Mitchell, treasurer.
Marie Evans, assessment director.
Kathleen Kingston, assistant director.
Stephanie Evans, minute taker.
Okay. And we'll announce anybody else as they come through. Joni, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, it's Joni Jenkins, student services coordinator.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and open up for public comments. If anybody has any, we'll limit those to 3 minutes. If anybody has any at this time. Oh, sorry. We've got to start with the pledge. Yeah. So.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so we'll open it up for public comment. If there's any comments.
I do have a public comment. So... Nicholas Young asked me to make a comment on his behalf. He wanted to come tonight, but he couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. And he is wondering about the policy on guns at the school. And he, I guess it came about because one of his kids tried to do a report on his company, and they wouldn't allow any pictures of guns or anything in it to be shown. And so he's a little bit concerned about the image that portrays, and he's of the opinion that guns are a tool, and they're not necessarily, I mean, a gun doesn't kill someone, it's somebody behind the gun that kills somebody with it. Yeah. And I think the school has a policy of there can't be any violent acts shown. And so a gun itself is not, in his opinion, is not really a violent act, and he wanted us to bring that up about to the board and see if maybe we could revisit some policies or what needs to happen in order to change that kind of mindset at the school of being able to allow that. And he said that he would be very interested at Desert Tech on teaching gun safety and having like a shooting sports competition with the club at the school and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he's interested in educating and helping with that kind of thing.
I think it'd be worth reviewing the policy for sure and go through. Do we have a copy of the current policy?
I don't have one.
I don't think there's a written policy yet.
I can pull up and see what we have that was referenced. This is actually the first I've heard of it. I don't know if Suzanne has heard of it.
It was Suzanne.
Okay. So I didn't know, and so I don't know.
Only place it's written is in the student government elections packet. I was told to put that in there that they couldn't have that.
And just the wording, just no acts of violence can be
pull it up real quick. But there are some in our legacy wall downstairs, though.
Right.
You're looking at the
requirement?
Revolutionary War.
Yeah, Revolutionary War. Yeah, the Battle of Lexington and Concord is down there, and it shows gunfire.
The policy should be just no guns in the school, but as far as if it's information on guns, then as long as they're not going to hurt you.
I think the goal is
safety.
So.
Yeah. I think sometimes awareness is the best means to safety on that kind of stuff, too.
So, yeah, we got to... Maybe, and if we don't have it now, we can pull it up by next meeting and do that policy. Or we could have the admin just review it and come up with a recommendation on it. Maybe talk to
Contacting you about doing a club like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think it'd be worth talking to him and seeing what his recommendations are. And then we could review the policy and see what we feel. Okay, any other public comments? If not, there's minutes here. Does everyone have a copy of the minutes? Did you get a copy of the... Sorry.
That's not good.
So we'll go to the first item to review the minutes from the last meeting. We're going through the minutes now. So. Did we publish these minutes last time? After the meeting, or how soon after?
I haven't been putting them on the website, but we have them available to where if someone wants to get them, they can.
But can you send them to the board after?
Yeah, I wonder if it would make sense to send them to the board after. Within about a certain time, maybe a couple days or 24 hours. So... These minutes look good. We can motion to approve them.
I have a question. Not specific about the the minutes that are on there, but they seem quite brief for the amount of time we spend here. Is there any additional information we should be recording?
Possibly. Last time was our fastest board meeting.
Yeah, that's true.
There may be more things we... We do include some on the action items, but we're actually getting somewhat low on those, too. So.
Just a general comment.
Yeah, no, that's good. So.
We seem like we say so much about motion going to approve minutes is longer than any other minute.
Yeah.
It's kind of like writing. I don't really have very much to say because it takes so long to write on these plates. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't. Don't have any voting items this time either.
I'll motion to approve the minutes from last meeting.
I'll second it.
All in favor of approving these minutes, say yes.
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 All opposed, say no. So the minutes have been approved from last time. We'll go to the open points. The first open point is, again, a question. We've chosen not to close it. But the question is, how are we going to include excellence in everything we do? And maybe since Suzanne's not here, it'll be a good time for the other ones to say what.
Suzanne was in a car accident just a couple blocks away. Suzanne was in it. So.
She was actually her nephew.
Oh, is it?
And she's just making sure he's just there.
Supporting.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. So if anybody from the admin or board has any ideas on how to include excellence?
We are looking at one idea is to have the departments kind of highlight something that they are doing or some research that they've found that shows excellence in their classroom or in their department. So we're kind of looking for best practices and things like that. That is one area that we're going to start focusing on and ask teachers to contribute to that. So they'll kind of watch others and look for something that's excellent going on at Vanguard or something that they've found a practice on by the research or something else. That's something that we're looking at doing.
On the student services side, I just lately been thinking a little bit about focusing. Does happen a little bit in leadership classes as well, but kind of a school-wide thing to focus on certain character traits, like this week, maybe focus on respect or different things, just having a kind of a big big thing where everybody really gets excited about it and plans and thinks about ways that they can show that in the school. And again, that's not just academic excellence, but excellence in everything, the way we do things.
Is there anything to highlight the SAGE test results, like any displays in the halls or anything to highlight?
We haven't put anything in the halls yet. We do have a presentation that we shared with our teachers, and we'll be going through that tonight, and then we're sharing it with students this Friday. But I had been wanting to talk to Suzanne about having even a bulletin board or something that kind of shows the growth and maybe even highlight which grade level was the highest in which category and kind of promote some of that, but I haven't gone over that with her yet.
I like that idea. I like that idea of promoting and displaying excellence in the academics.
Right along with that emphasis on SAGE, I don't know if anybody else noticed the article that came out that says the state overall SAGE results have been down. Can we contrast the power results with that somehow? Can we incorporate that into what you plan to do?
Did you see that?
I
saw that somewhere.
It's only down just a bit, but
yeah,
it's only down about 1 point or half a point or something.
Yeah, I worried, or I wondered, I didn't worry, but if we were coming in with good scores, if it was because it was easier this year, but that's even the same or lower shows that
I think it wasn't.
More
people trying to do well. I think that was the biggest difference.
Yeah. It'd be nice to highlight that.
We did a little bit for the kids that went to the Madrigals who performed at the state office meeting. Then they got to hear some of the things that were said about them. We're actually going to play part of that recording for the kids at an assembly so they can see what was said about Vanguard, about them.
Okay.
So that was a kind of an affirmation for them, or a validation for them. They were in their wealth, and the board was asking questions. And they got to hear us celebrate them. And some of the kids after told me that changed what they felt about Vanguard.
I didn't know about that, did we?
I know.
What was said about them?
What was said?
Yeah, you should.
It was just a short recap. So they highlighted Vanguard. I don't know how many already knew this. They came in to visit. This is the state charter board. Because we had the lowest transfer rate of students leaving our school, then they came in to visit with us to kind of see what was going on at Vanguard. Marie had prepared the data slides that I think you're getting tonight on our performance, and shared them with teachers that morning and shared them with it when they come. They were very excited about that. When they presented to everyone, they said,
when they came in, they were going to highlight us because of the low transfer rate. But then when we showed them the data, they actually were more impressed with our high growth rate than the low transfer rate.
And their focus was the growth, more than the total score. It was the growth that they were more interested in.
And I think we were, weren't we number one in the state?
In two subjects we were.
Yep.
For progress, progress.
And he showed, basically took Marie's slides and pasted them into his PowerPoint. And while they were here meeting in Suzanne's office, we were meeting with DTA. And once the DTA meeting finished, I stepped in and let them know we just got another internship for kids, or another partnership that includes internships. So when he presented at the state office, he just said, we came in, come to find this, and what we found was, and then showed our slides that showed our growth, and was very excited about that. So that was nice. And then they asked the questions that they asked. The kids heard those responses, and we really gave a lot of credit to the kids and to the faculty, and we came out. Some of the comments the kids made after were, he says, you guys gave all the credit to us. You know, it belonged on you guys. On the kids, so.
A lot of the slides that Marie prepared were actually just a reprint of the state numbers that were in. I don't know if you guys saw the packet. Pretty impressive.
And he was excited about the internships too.
I don't think those were in the packet we passed out before.
Or didn't you send your whole presentation?
I sent them in an email.
Yeah. The guy presenting said he wished he had the internship opportunities and stuff. that we are working out for our kids.
Yeah, didn't they present Suzanne with an award?
Yeah, they did
for lowest transfer. So that's the recording of that is on the State Board of Education, or not State Board, sorry, the State Charter Board website for anyone who wants to view it or download it. You can.
Yeah. So should we probably just leave that open again? I think it's good to have that to start. So, the next one is asking about the exit. Did we come to a conclusion on that?
I think so. It says on the disposition we were going to wait and see what the occupation is during an assembly, so that we can kind of know how many people are in there and if there's too many people there.
So just started, if that's okay. We're just going through the open points now. And we're to the open point talking about the exit and tracking the occupancy.
And I think that's not as much on Kim anymore now that we're just tracking to see how many people are coming in assembly when we have parents there and kids.
Okay. How are we tracking it?
I don't know. Have we had an assembly yet where parents and kids have come?
Not with parents. Aside from back to school night.
Okay.
But that was before the last time.
We usually do have parent involvement forms for them to sign so that we kind of track it. It's not everyone remembers to sign in when they come, but it would give us a pretty good idea of how many people are attending.
And we could, on the next event, even just have a sign-in sheet that has a number of people attending or every name on here or how many children or whatever.
Or could you put like one of the students at the door with a clicker that counts?
That would be a good idea.
Go through.
Yeah.
And then just maybe bring those to the board meeting hearing. And you can see if there's a concern. Yeah. Okay. We'll leave that open too and just kind of track it and monitor it. The next one is to come up with a recommendation of whether we want to apply for the STEM school status.
Did you get the data from that? So we went through it as an administrative team and had our teachers fill out a survey. And from what we got from survey results, then we would be able to achieve a designation. It wouldn't be the highest one this year, but we would be able to achieve. I think we were looking at either bronze or silver with a number of points. And do you just go ahead and give my recommendation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My recommendation is that we go for silver. There's four levels. I think it goes bronze, silver, gold, platinum. And from looking at the teacher responses and from our admin team, it's really a number of points and how many points you get from each category. We are close on a lot of them, but I feel like going through, if we do go through the process this year at the lower level, then it will give everybody a better awareness and help them to work towards the higher level. I'd rather not go a year without focusing on improvement in any of those areas. But I think it was 37 areas that...
Somewhere around there,
it was around close to 40 areas of improvement, one of which includes like a 5-year plan for the school. And so when we looked at those categories, I don't think there was anything in there that we wouldn't want for our kids and that wouldn't provide a better education for them. And so my recommendation based off the meeting that we had and the data we got from teachers would be to go ahead and fill out the intent to apply, which is October, and then begin the process. And I think we mentioned before, Suzanne did dedicate Tucker to coordinate that, which was the additional resource I thought we needed, and we did get that. So.
Do we, wonder if we need to make a decision on that, or if we just kind of discuss it and approve, or would this turn into a voting item?
So I should have made sure it was listed on there as a voting item, I think, where it's a vision piece, it kind of is. But it is listed on the agenda, but
Do we feel like everybody in the board has enough information to decide on that, or should we want more information to make a decision?
There's no... if we have the resources to do the effort, there's no nothing that harms us to do the effort, right?
No, I was curious myself, what is the STEM designation, what does it do, and I even asked those questions. Does it get us in better alignment to get any grants in the future? Does it, what does it do? It's a designation, and that's just what it is. I think for our purposes, the reason that I would support doing it is, as Joy mentioned, you know, we set goals. We want to strive to do more and better, and these things just kind of guide us in doing just that. I don't see that it's necessarily going to bring additional funding in. It could, being, you know, having that STEM designation might speak a little bit toward any of the grants that we want to write, but it just is best practice.
Probably get more applicants for the school, I bet.
Possibly.
It's seems like another kind of notch you can put on your,
marketing.
Your name.
Yeah, it's marketing that we would say that we focus on these areas and we've achieved this level.
Well, it's just like we're saying we are a STEAM school and STEM is part of that. And see, we really mean it.
Yeah. So it kind of feels like that when you look at the vision of Vanguard and the board, then the board felt like that was important. I think we could go anyway. We could recommend, or let's go forward with this. Or, but I think anyway, the recommendation sounds good to me. But I wonder if we need to have more information on it to decide if we're shooting too low, too high.
I believe that when we put in, if we put in an intent to apply, I don't believe that we are bound by it. And like Joy mentioned, that an intent to apply needs to be submitted. I believe it was October 13th or something like that. And that's prior to the next board meeting. The question I would have is, would it be okay for us to go ahead and submit an intent to apply? I don't believe it is binding. I think it's just that's our intent.
Right.
And would that be okay even as the board continues to review? And then if the board makes a decision, maybe it's a little bit too soon, maybe it's not going to take us where we need to go, then we can withdraw that intent.
Yeah. That sounds good. And then we can make a note in the minutes that by next time we can have enough information out to the board members that we can have a vote.
And the type of information you would want would be what those 37 items are, maybe? And the
Yeah, what's involved in the different levels? That's what I did. I didn't pass those out last time, but I can get it again.
What would be interesting to know, too, is not just the 37 items, but how's that going to affect us? How much extra work is it going to put on the staff?
Or? We should give you, and I should have just printed the results from the surveys. Because then you can see where we placed ourselves at for all. I can add that out to you in email.
And
I think your comment was very valid. You know, what kind of time and pressure or effort is going
right.
to take, and is it, you know, that would be something that I would want the board to consider. Is it the right time? With everything else going on in a school, would any other year be less intense than this year is? So I would really appreciate if the board is considering all things. I mean, I certainly am not going to push something one way or another right now. I think it does provide some guidelines for us and some goals for us to reach. But I would like the board's input to know if the timing is right.
And to know that, I think if you could give us a little bit of a summary of the amount of effort additional effort, and along with recommendation.
If we wait until our next meeting, didn't I hear that the deadline to submit your intent is the October 13th? That's before our next meeting.
Yeah, but that's the intent to that you want to become one, but you don't have to decide at that point.
It's an intent to apply. It's not an application itself. It's an intent to apply.
Is to submit the intent to apply. Is that right? Yeah. Without the information?
Yeah. That's okay. The question is, do we want to submit that intent and then still await input and a decision on whether we actually will apply?
Right. That's something to vote on, or it seems like...
I think I would just go ahead and do it. Yeah, we can't vote on it because it's not on the agenda, but I think I would recommend doing that because it leaves the door open. And then next time, we can, with more information, we can vote on it or put it on the agenda.
If we don't put an intent, then the door is closed, and we won't be doing it this year.
Okay, and then we'll plan on that being on the agenda for next board meeting. And I think that's it for the minutes and the open points. We'll go to the next item on the agenda is the director's report.
And I am again going to defer to Kathleen. The only thing I had on the calendar, and it's, I believe, a little bit later, is or on the meeting. Did we have calendar approval? I should have looked at this a little closer before I sent the calendar out. And we can wait for the approval if we need to.
I think
I thought we had it on the voting.
Maybe you had mentioned that if we just had it in the, under the director's report, that we could do it there.
Does it require a vote from the board?
It requires approval. I don't know if it's a vote. I would imagine it would go to a vote. But like I said, it's something that we don't have to have that approval right this minute. We can just. You know, you guys can take the calendar, review it, take the next month or so to review it, and
okay.
It can still remain a draft.
Did we vote on that last year?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was a voting.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should.
It does need to be approved by the board before we run a calendar.
Okay, good. So should we put that on next month's agenda too?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can just pass it around. Everyone to the calendar. So we have two.
So what I would do is I would defer to Kathleen for the director's report.
Sheet is the finance and enrollment report. So the enrollment shows the numbers where we are in each grade level. I left the projected from the spring of what numbers we were looking at originally and what grade levels. And we are at our full capacity right now, but we are not over like we anticipated in the spring. So we were right there. Then on the finance report, I have left it with the projected amount and then the actual, so that you can, or the projected year to date, rather than just comparing against the final yearly budget. So some of those have been spread throughout the year to anticipate what expenses we'll have coming month to month.
I don't remember on our charter, is that 450 or 460?
It's 450.
Okay, so we're right at the...
We're right there.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So for the October 1st count, that's probably what it's going to be at, huh?
Yeah. If we have everybody enrolled. But it is, that's who's actually enrolled, so they will use that number, and they will be here on October 2nd to do the audit in class.
Visit classes and take roll and check.
Okay.
Johnny's worked a lot to help create the packets and to create other options, make sure parents and we've had different members of the staff help to communicate the different options as people consider leaving, that they have alternatives such as online programs or partial day here and different things like that. That's helped us to maintain the numbers.
Is there communication to the parents on how important it is to have their students be at school on October 2nd?
We haven't done that yet, but we should.
This last year they did the October.
No, they will continue to do it. They did move us to average daily membership, but they use the October 1 count as part of the calculations as well. So they use that count and AD.
Okay. Is that everything then? I'm assuming this is for finance also?
Yeah, it does have the finance amounts. So with that, we have not received any federal funding yet, and we'll be looking to request some of that as we now that we have better use of their system. They have a reimbursement request system mm-hmm. where you can request it more often than we have in the past.
Cool. So we're actually look like we're right on target?
We're really close to
where we
projected.
Okay. And that's as the budget we submitted to the state?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do they ever give you feedback on the budget you sent in, or do they just look at numbers and make sure we're...
They've contacted us for a few things here and there, if there was something that didn't look right, or... We submit, and the transparency report is coming up. There's a quarterly transparency report, and they'll request all of the data, and it's uploaded to the state auditor's site. And so if there's any questions on the detail, they have contacted and requested more information that way sometimes.
As far as the allocation of funds, that's the main thing they questioned is how they're allocated, if they're
yeah. And whether they're in the correct programs.
But the auditor should go through that.
The auditors help to review that and help to give us information.
Okay. Is there anything else in the finance that we need to cover? Okay, any other questions on that part? Anybody? So that we'll go... Basically, it was the director's report and the finance report. The governance committee, just kind of a quick update. We have met quite a few times on mm-hmm. kind of the organization and the structure. I think we're getting to a point now where we're moving anyway. We're trying to get the job descriptions approved and nailed down. And I think at some point we probably could pass those, publish those, and let everyone kind of give an approval on them, both the job descriptions and the organization chart. I think as soon as we have some of that more well-defined, I think it'll give us a really good way to start pushing the apps and getting the apps prepared. Mm-hmm. I think. You kind of needed to have some of those.
Structure to be able to review it. I did meet with Rebecca today on creating at least some templates for some of the reporting that we'll be able to pull from PowerSchool
mm-hmm.
Because she's able to access the different fields. So we've looked at the idea of concept mastery that's been a focus, and so we will be able to create the board reports using some of those. And so in the next week or two, we should have some basic templates to kind of look at for review.
We've had hiccups with our PowerSchool system with the Unified Classroom as well, more than just hiccups in some aspects. And so we actually met with them in a webinar over the phone, and we're discussing our options. I think we're going to try to schedule something next Thursday because they wanted to get a couple of their other folks on board. We're contemplating pulling back from Unified Classroom, going to their PowerSchool Pro, and possibly using their assessment platform. We wanted to double check because that's what we looked at that we liked so much that we felt like could give us the data that we're looking for to present or to create that management reporting packet. Mm-hmm. And with the Unified Classroom, it is just rolling off now, and they have the updates that are coming. But even in the conversation today, it sounds like it could even be to the end of this school year before they have some of those pieces into place. And so we talked to them about what can we do, because we're needing the data, we're needing the reports, and right now it's just not there.
Yeah, the management reporting has been a big focus on a lot of the areas when we've been meeting, and I think if once we start putting out some of that information, you can see what the board would want to see. If there's anything that any questions that we feel like we have as a board that should be reported up through the management reporting, I think now as we start getting more information, what's available, we can start asking, and actually even ask whatever you want to see.
Yeah.
Because
if there's something you want to see, it would be really nice if you just say, hey, I want to see this information, I want to see this needs to be part of our report, because that would be helpful for us to know what we should provide.
I think we're in a pretty good position now that given requests, that we know where to start funneling those and putting that responsibility on people. And that'll, again, with the job descriptions, we can kind of put that more clear and identify who is specifically responsible for those reports. In the past, we've had a lot of stuff that's come up through the curriculum, the 180-day plan and different things that's been real valuable to see. But I think anything that we feel like we want to see as a board, we can ask them, see if it's available. So hopefully we'll start seeing that through PowerSchool shortly. Any discussions or questions or if not, we'll move on to the sixth item, the Academic Assessment Committee report. And who is Joy, Marie, and Joni?
Marie will
Yeah. So Marie, Joni, and Joy.
Again, this is the presentation that we went over our staff with in our meeting 2 weeks ago, I believe. And we're going to share it with our students this Friday in our senior assembly. So we just kind of went back and remembered our first year, what our main focus was to, so we had a portion of our students that had taken the SAGE in previous years, and we knew that that was going to be important, that they get the growth that they needed that year. So that was kind of a big focus for us that year, was to make sure that we worked with all of our students and that they got the growth that year. So at the end of our first year, this is language arts. The chart on the right shows our growth. The chart on the left shows our proficiency percentage. This is the group of 20 schools that the state has grouped us with based on similarities. Then in science, end of first year, this was our growth. We were at 45. And in math, our growth again. Then last year, our second year, we wanted to rise to the top in our grouping, our state grouping, and we met with the teachers mid-year, and we talked about what that would mean. So if the top school is here and we want to be at the top, then we'll have to have this percentage of proficiency. That means this many kids in each subject. And the teachers went through each of their rosters and they pledged the kids that they were going to make sure that they were proficient, and obviously their goal was all students are proficient, realizing that it would take more work on some than others, but our goal was to rise to the top. So in language arts, the red arrow on the blue graph shows where we were from year one to year two, and we were number one. And that number one in language arts was not just in our grouping, that actually is in the state. We were number one in growth in the state.
We clapped in step. Right.
Take a bow.
The state spotlighted Vanguard. When they came to meet with us, then Marie already had this, and they actually asked her to send them her PowerPoint because they were impressed with what she had put together and the momentum that was put together with Marie's effort. So just FYI.
The minimum improvement was the number one school.
So and this then is this science. Is our science. Yep, this is our science. And you can see from the red arrow where they were year one compared to year two on the in the grouping from the state. And then this is our math.
I'll point out that science, half of them had already taken the test by the time we got kindergarten.
Yeah, last year we had our science kids enrolled every day half year. And so when we met with the teachers and talked about those goals, half of our kids had already finished science and had already taken the test, and so
they'd already taken the SAGE test.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The first semester didn't count the science semester.
No, it did.
That just shows.
But our push started around January.
Yeah, I feel like if science would have had all year like English and math, and if we would have had that push when they were still teaching all the kids, we would have seen more growth in science, and they would have been up higher for sure. When we compared, going over it with the science teachers and with Suzanne, when we looked at the proficiency on our first half of science compared to our second half, it was night and day. So for sure,
So go back to that slide.
Sorry.
What does the MPG mean? That's percent of growth.
Mean
growth.
Mean growth.
What is 94? What is that number?
So that is actually pretty impressive. I'm glad you asked. 99 is the highest you can even get. And so what that means is our kids, on average in math, grow 94 points.
What's a typical growth for
one? The state expects 40 points per kid per year. They feel like 40 points shows that they've learned 1 year's worth of information.
So
our kids
in our math.
2 years.
Yep, our math was 94.
So the interesting thing too on that, on the left side, there's one school that scored higher than us in our groupings.
Yeah.
But they're located
on a college campus. It's Success SUU, and that school is on Southern Utah University's campus, and they are all 100% college classes. The Success SUU.
Yep,
they're high school kids taking 100% college classes.
When you look at Vanguard, we're not an exact area in that grouping, and I feel like our demographic is slightly different because we have kids that aren't in college classes, and we still had that amount of growth for kids who weren't taking college classes.
So
we have the college kids and the non.
Yeah, if you take our score in math and you take all the top schools in the whole state, I think we're number 10 overall. So this grouping, we're number 2, but if you group them with the top schools in the whole state, we're number 10.
So that's all the big schools and everything.
That's every, So if you get Brighton, if you get all the east side schools, put them up there in Vanguards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I think the selection of our math curriculum was one of the key factors.
And the way we went about selecting it, too, I think was huge. I mean, how our teachers, they led that, and they
led research, and they live it, and they do it.
If CPM doesn't come in and use Vanguard as their marketing tool.
Our math head is actually going to email them and say, by the way,
when they went through the presentation to sell us CPM, they showed us one of the schools, and they showed, this much growth, not this much.
And I actually think that points to our teachers, too.
I do too.
I think it was the curriculum plus the teacher's dedication.
Our teachers all year, especially in math, they were looking at those numbers, they were talking, they were meeting over what else are we going to do, and they knew where their kids were the entire time. They knew where their kids were, and they knew what they needed to do, and they were on it.
A lot of parents were kind of skeptical.
Just a note as well, in our junior high honors math classes, 100% of them are proficiency.
Yep.
Say that one more time.
In our honors junior high math classes last year, 100% of those students met mastery or met proficiency.
Yep.
So
and there's the teacher right there. Just saying.
Yep.
But a lot of parents were pretty skeptical of the CPM when it initially landed. But after, I don't think any of the parents that I talked to, after they came and discussed it with the teachers and got to see a little bit more of it, they actually were bought into it, and they were pretty happy after. I didn't find anybody, any parents that were unhappy with it after they went through the process of learning and understanding what it was. So I think the teachers did a really good job in selling it and being a good marketer for it.
Yeah.
Well, and the students, too. We've got a lot of feedback from the students at the beginning. Why aren't we still doing SATs and this? Is this kind of. And at the end of the year, they're all saying, I love that. I love this different. So,
yeah.
So it made a difference.
So how do we get our other areas to do the same thing?
We'll talk about that in a minute. Because that is the goal, for sure. So when we met with our teachers, we talked about two different tasks that we have right now, or at this point. First one is to focus on our target kids, and what we did is we identified each grade level, each subject, our 20 lowest performers on SAGE last year, and identified those and sat with the teachers to come up with a preliminary plan of what we'll do with those students starting now to kind of get ahead of the ball, make sure we don't wait too long to make sure that we're meeting those kids' needs. And the second thing is mid-year, we will meet again and make those proficiency goals and identify students that we can track individual students and make sure that we know where each kid is and that they end up where they need to be at the end. So I thought it would be interesting to see, so I pulled up some of the higher schools that are in a higher grouping than our grouping, just to see where we would fall in that grouping, and that's what this is. So that red line is where we would be, and this is English.
That was last year.
This is this year, spring 2017, or last year, yes, sorry. Spring 2017, so our second year of operation. And is there science? Yeah.
Can you go back to that other one?
Yeah.
So UCAS, right up there near the top, when I looked on the STEM designation website, they have the silver STEM designation, the one that we're hoping to go for.
We're try for first.
Yeah.
And this is our science, where we would have fallen, and that's where we would have fallen in math. It's interesting, too. I think that we do really need to closely evaluate everything that's going on in math, because when you look at scores statewide, it is not common for math to be the highest. Most schools are not going to see that. The majority of schools, math is their lowest performing subject. So I think we need to really evaluate what are we doing in math and how do we replicate that in our other subjects, because we're doing something that most are not. The other thing I wanted to point out to our teachers is this interesting bit of data here. Our girls were lower performing in every subject than our boys, and that's not common either. When you look at other schools, you look at state overall, you don't see that. You might see how our language is the closest. That's on the other schools that I looked at, and the state overall, that's what you would see at the most distance. So to see the distance that we do in all our areas, we definitely feel like we need to do something different with our girls so that they're performing like our boys, or that they're not underperforming.
I'd be curious to know the differences between our junior high and high school students.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. How many of those girls are 7th through 8th? And then how many of those are 9th through 11th?
That's
a good question. Yeah.
Because that really will tell you whether where you're falling short.
Mm-hmm.
Is it seventh grade science?
Yeah.
Is it the...
Well, and when we looked at our 20 kids, our 20 target kids that we're focusing on right now, the majority of them were boys. So they're
not
the
lowest,
but they're not the highest, yeah. So it's, anyway, something we're definitely going to need to look at and figure out. The next thing we looked at is this graph that's also published by the state. This is our English, and this shows across the bottom is the median growth percentile, and along the side is the proficient. The size of the bubble is determined by the number of kids, number of students.
So the goal is, if you was the furthest to the right and the highest would be the place, the best place to be.
Yep.
But so we're the furthest to the right, which is because we had the highest growth in the whole state. In language.
But we just need to increase
our
proficiency.
Yep.
Yeah. But you can see that we're in the ballpark with most of the other schools.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have the highest growth rate in the whole state. There's no
yep.
no bubbles further right than our school.
So one more year of that growth and we'll be
Exactly.
If we could do it one more time, we would be there. So that's our English. And it's our science. In science, we were fifth on growth in the state, which is pretty remarkable.
Especially what happened when we already tested.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And if you look at even percent proficient, we're not among the lowest.
Yeah.
And I think this coming year we'll see a lot of difference in that too. And actually, it's hard to say what we'll see in science this year. The state, I'm not sure what they will put out there as far as make available to us, as far as these kinds of things. There is a new state core in science and new standards and all of that, and so they don't plan to use the science scores in the school grades this coming year, so I don't know what they will publish and make available as far as data, but just like the charts and graphs and everything that we put in your SAGE packet that you got this summer, we can figure out a lot of those things on our own data, but I don't know what we'll have as far as comparing how we sit with other schools. And then this is our math. And I didn't put the label like on these ones because it would cover up those other bubbles. So that red circle is our math, and our numbers are over on the left.
And this is how you count. If you count the number of bubbles, it's kind of hard. But if you count the number of bubbles that are above us, there's about 9, I think.
And I don't.
So we're.
Who's that school that's second in growth and second in high score?
Yeah.
I'll pull that up before our meeting's over. I'll let you know.
If you go online, you can actually see the interactive.
Yeah, this is
like the SUU school.
I'll pull it up and find out for sure.
So the more growth we get this year, our potential for growth becomes less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Efficiency needs to go big. I think it's really important that what you've said about targeting on the target students.
Mm-hmm.
Is don't worry about averages.
Exactly.
Every kid.
Mm-hmm. Every kid needs to be
That's
there.
That's what happened in math in some of those 100% proficiency classes. Every kid was looked at individually to see what does this specific kid need to move up, and like they would get phone calls to parents, hey, your kid is this many points away from the passing score, this is what you can do at home to help them.
There were a lot of hours after school keeping kids after because they weren't getting homework done at home, so the teacher was staying late to make sure that those kids were getting the help that they needed. There was a lot of individual effort put forth. Yeah, and then that was just what we, anyway, that's what we talked with them about. We had a afternoon meeting and kind of went over those target kids, like I was saying. So, oh, and I guess I didn't talk about the goals. So we did have each of the teams meet together on what their proficiency goal was going to be this year, and like I said, we'll focus on that a little more as it gets to be mid-year when they've got a little more data and they can measure and see where kids are. I guess December, I think it was last year. Anyway, November, December, somewhere around there. So coming up pretty quickly. Then we will focus on those goals a little more and pin it down to what does that mean by each kid. We obviously still have the goal of every kid being proficient, and we want to make sure, and teachers, that not one kid, like you said, it's not about getting the high kids high, it's not about the average kid, it's about every kid, and that is how we have met with our teachers, and that's how our teachers are looking at things and focusing on that. And if you have any suggestions or anything that you'd like us to implement on that, then be glad to hear it.
As far as excellence goes,
mm-hmm.
parents all understood that. We really did. Parents understand that's
so
what your goal is.
It's our intent to have a parent night.
Yep, we're
and present this data to them and try to kind of. And when we were meeting with the state, I mentioned that too. It was a grassroots movement from the parents as well as teachers. It really was that they each had their momentum going, that they were pushing it, and you're absolutely right. If the parents don't see this, don't know this,
yep.
and don't get be a part
they
of it.
They understand, hey, what you do makes a difference.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a really good support from the parents.
And with the SAGE, that was the one that's optional for the kids to take.
It's actually, so it is the state required test. Parents have the right to opt out of that test. It's not the state required for juniors. Last year it wasn't, this coming year it's not. But both years we decided that we wanted that data on all grade levels.
What keeps other schools from opting out and some of their kids?
So that was actually a question the state asked us, because we had zero opt-outs this last year. We didn't have one parent. Yep, we didn't have one parent that opted out, and that was one thing that they noticed and what they looked at. We didn't have that in any of our stuff anywhere, but they noticed that and they asked us about that as well. And I felt like it was because the momentum and the excitement that we had built at school with a huge help from the parents, then the kids wanted to take it, and it was going to be like an opportunity for them to celebrate and show what they know instead of this drudgery, oh, I hate the SAGE. And I felt like it had to have been. So that made me feel like the first year, the parents that opted out probably came more from the kids. And after we had the first couple of kids opt out, then you'd start noticing their friends have their mom sign and opt them out. And I feel like that it was more the kids didn't want to do it, so mom signs a note saying they don't have to do it. And this last year, then I think the teachers and parents and everybody had done such a good job of building that up as an exciting celebration time to be able to show what you know. And we didn't have the kids that didn't want to take it.
The very first year, I had a couple of kids that told me that their moms had said that they had heard that SAGE results count, and then they can count against them as a part of the college application.
Mm-hmm.
That the colleges would look at their SAGE scores and whatever. And I thought, that's not true to my knowledge. And I actually contacted the University of Utah and Salt Lake Community College just to see. I mean, I didn't believe that was true, but I couldn't say unilaterally that's not true. But the response that came back from both of them 4 or 5 months later was absolutely not. They don't look at it, they don't know it, they don't see it, it's not part of their evaluation. For
they look at ACT, right?
Yep, they look at ACT.
Yeah.
So we are doing SAGE testing for all grades, all the way through
11th. Up through 11th is SAGE tested.
Can we do SAGE testing on 12th?
They don't have a 12th grade SAGE test.
Is there a way to test the 12th to see and measure?
They have to be enrolled in a class that has that SAGE test there. And they don't have it for 12th grade classes. If a 12th grader is enrolled in a physics class, they could take it.
They would take it.
If they hadn't already taken it.
This would be interesting to measure our 12th graders too, because by the end of your high school years, it would be interesting to see
mm-hmm.
where they were at.
I think if we did even like an ACT as well, do a comparison of their 11th and 12th grade ACT.
Mm-hmm.
The 11th graders, every student takes the ACT. 12th grades, just those that want to take it again on their own. But I think it's something that I think it's we would want to encourage our 12th graders to take it again.
Yeah, we try to get a higher score.
But we've talked, too, about the idea of even other subjects. I think that it would be good for us to get some kind of curriculum assessment test like some schools use
mm-hmm.
To get that in mind.
because again, what we're assessing right now is math, language, and science.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not assessing music, we're not assessing history, we're not assessing health, PE. We don't have a school-wide assessment.
Do we feel like that Power School is going to provide that when they once it works?
I don't believe so. I think they may have some test items in their pool, but Master Connect has those in their pool. The SAGE stuff does, but again, it's on those three subjects, not across the board.
With that, are there tools?
It would have to be something that we would create.
You have to create it. There's not tools out there for.
There may be some test items that we could draw from somewhere, but a lot of schools will create their own walkaways for each subject, which is in essence that final exam that says you can walk away having mastered the concepts.
That school you wondered about, Darren, is New Ames. That school that was the top one out there was New Ames.
Oh, okay.
That's another early college high school.
That's the one in Cottonwood or the New Ames?
No, the New Ames is Northern.
Northern Utah Academy for Math Engineering
up there as well.
They're on a college campus up there.
I think it's Weber.
It might be Weber. We visited and I can't think of where it is either.
That is one we visited.
They're in Starlight. Ones that have a really neat robotics.
They're in Layton.
And it's offshoot of the one in Cottonwood?
Ames is different.
I think they're both part of the same charter.
I think because they're the Northern Utah Academy.
Yeah. I thought Ames and Cottonwood was one of the top schools.
It used to be. It's not scoring as high
in our charter at both.
And they partner with the University of Utah.
When you guys are talking about the high school versus college, you really should look at the data of the older kids and younger kids. Some of the older kids have come in even from other backgrounds, whereas most of the younger kids have
started
a little
scoring.
Bit different and see,
starting younger.
And see if it's the scores are going to be, if the future's moving up or...
Mm-hmm. Well, our ACT does give us a little bit of that data too, because that assessed our 11th graders, and a good chunk of them came from different schools.
Yeah.
And we did see the difference.
Better, lower?
Was it a time test, and I think that our kids weren't prepared for a time test.
Yeah, that was kind of a computer-based test.
So Ames proficiency in math was 61.7, and their growth was 68, and Vanguard's proficiency was 67.3.
Do they list on the inner schools percentage of people opted out? It still seems like you could artificially make your score really improve pretty dramatically just by having certain kids opt out.
You could.
Yeah. It is illegal to do that.
Yeah.
It's illegal?
It is.
Yeah. Like Park City, I heard 5%. On the way home today, they have a 47% opt out rate.
Yeah. Wow. They have a huge.
See, and that's, rate. I mean, they probably focus on their honor classes, make sure you take the stage.
Well, yeah, because we've got
100% proficiency. Right, exactly. It's good. Yeah. Probably opt out 20 kids in our school and might be top in the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but those are 20 kids we're giving the most help to this year.
Yeah.
So they're going to give us a lot of growth points.
I know. We want to know where we're really at, not what.
I'm not trying to.
No, I
understand. Yeah. I'm just wondering.
We have identified those kids and we're giving them extra help.
And the proof is no opt-outs.
Yeah.
I think we need to keep up the momentum for this year, and with the parent night, just help them to know how nice that was to have no opt-outs, so we really knew where we were at.
Hey, Julia.
All right, I'll just go really quickly. I do really feel like the results we're getting are a validation of the textbook selection process that we went through. Anyone who was involved in that, it was a pretty rigorous process, and we put the whole thing into basically packet format so that anyone else who goes through that process will go through the same process as the math department. It does rest with the teachers and the department head, though. One thing that Suzanne's mentioned several times is that the teachers owned that process, and it was the teachers that drove it. Because if I choose a curriculum and I hand it down, I'm not going to have the background knowledge, and none of us on the admin team will have that background knowledge, and the buy-in won't be there. So sometimes when teachers come and ask me for their curriculum, I show them the process and say, this is the process, I can help you through it. Like, I scheduled a lot of those meetings, made sure everyone was there. But it really comes down to the teacher has to create that. In the secondary level especially, teachers get certified in their special area of specialty. And so the teacher who's going to be teaching that is the one who needs to do the research and have the buy-in to make sure that that curriculum is going to work.
We just barely got a new science curriculum, right? Mm-hmm. Do we have that same buy-in from our teachers?
They're the ones who selected it.
Which ones?
John and Victor both participated.
Yeah.
And
some of the teachers of the sixth grade from our Bader School were part of the process as well. And they will collaborate in the training on that next Friday.
Okay.
So that's the textbooks we're changing to next year?
That we did
this
year.
Oh,
and
this
year.
And for
so
science.
We're using it this year.
Yep.
Okay.
And I'll pass this out real quick. This is our summary of our curriculum preparation packet. So you can see the buy-in for this process has changed quite a bit this year. We have way more completed packets than last year. And when I say completed, up to the part where it says department head is teacher reported and self-reported. But I have gone through and checked the folders. If there's nothing there, then nothing in the shared folder, then there's nothing on here in the checkboxes. And I know there are some that aren't through the process, but it's a two-sided page. And if you look at that, some of the ones who didn't have one at all last year or had one halfway through the year have one, specifically the language arts department. I did actually begin to review those. They were missing a piece on their master checklist, which the department head was finishing up this week. She had already completed that. She just had it in the wrong spot, and so she's moving it to where I can review it. But the language arts ones are done very well this year, and they didn't have one until around December last year. Also science, they have 180 plans this year, and the new curriculum has helped quite a bit with the ability to create those. There is a lot to say for having the right curriculum, but it also still rests a lot with the teacher to how they deliver the curriculum and to fill in holes. There's never been a curriculum that has really met all the needs of our students. With math, even with CPM, they had to fill in lessons because it didn't meet all of their requirements. So this year, since we had so much completion, the focus has been on quality. And even as we went through the process this year, there's a few that have already gotten bonuses. As I went to print some of those for a printed review, I realized we were lacking some of the pieces of quality. And so.
So I have a question. So you've got, what's the difference between, so look at your integrated science grade, and Victor Lenz checked up everything, including his 180 plan, but John Green hasn't. Does that mean Victor did it?
Victor did it, and I'm pretty sure John
using it.
Victor's.
Okay.
So I don't know if those two should be combined and then just remove John's name.
Okay.
But I did see that 180 plan in there.
Does John have a 180 plan for his 7th grade science?
Yes.
All the way completed.
Yep, that one I reviewed. And I guess I looked through it. I didn't get the department head saying he reviewed it thoroughly, so I haven't done a very thorough review, but I did look through it and make sure it was done.
Also, the ACT prep class and secondary math one, will you adjust that? Because I'm not in charge of that.
Who is?
I don't know, but it's not
ACT
me.
ACT prep should be Marie and the...
I'm guessing it's listed as me because
Jasmine's
classes are under my name.
I think that's who was assigned to it on the
Yeah, it was never
system.
Told. I was never told I was in charge of that.
These came from our...
Yeah, or I know, I'm just saying, if you don't mind just updating that, because it looks like I haven't done my job.
So, I also don't have a...
Is it Jasmine?
Jasmine is on the secondary math one.
Isn't she under you?
She is, but I don't think...
Aren't you supposed to be making sure she gets her job done?
Sort of.
Okay. So, who's going to follow up on that?
I don't think that should have been assigned to a student teacher.
Yeah.
But someone's got
to
do it.
And that's what I'm saying. It needs to be assigned to someone. That's the reason why I mentioned that, is because in fact, either of those classes, even if she is teaching it, a student teacher, I don't think is ready to jump on board.
So who's her mentor?
Me and Stephanie have been placed over that, but I've been placed over it without having any time to dedicate to that.
So then do we ask Tim to do it since he's department head?
And
possibly when you say that,
and or
asking
Lauren
to do it really does. The teacher who's teaching the class needs to write it. And if it's with help and support from the department head, that's fine. But the process doesn't work if somebody else writes it for you.
Yeah, the teacher's got to write it because she's going to be the one teaching it. And then what about this secondary math one honors Lauren Green?
I've seen some of his stuff.
I think he just didn't record it.
Yeah, he's done some of it.
I went slowly off of the sheet where they recorded themselves, and so he just might not have. All his other ones are good. But I can check back with him.
Should we follow up on the ones that don't have everything checked out?
Yeah.
And see what it would take to get it checked out? Get it all done?
Yeah.
And then can we follow up with this at our next board meeting?
Yeah, this will be at every board meeting. This is my management reporting, so I didn't have my complete management reporting, so I haven't been able to figure out how to do some of the reports that I used to do in the new system, but I am going to get with Marie and figure it out. This will be there all year. And we're actually starting the curriculum process, development process for next week. Where we start looking at other schools who scored higher than us, finding out what are they doing that we're not, and really reaching out to our industry partners to say, what do you need our kids to have? I know, according to the plan process, this is not where we're supposed to be at. This is not, I mean, I'm excited about the progress that we made, like what the other progress that we have also, but this should be done in June, the process. And it was designed to be done in June. But some of the things that were set up for next year, like Suzanne already brought out the calendar. Teachers are a lot more bought into 180-day plans this year, and with an approved calendar, they can actually go right now, like I wanted to for my classes, say this is what I'm doing the first week of school next year. And really, by the end of this year, there's a lot of teachers who've told me they want to create next year's as they go this year. So that by the time school lets out, they already have next year's done.
Yeah,
and all they have to do is update their syllabus.
That would be the best way to create your plan.
Have we recommended that all the teachers do that? And that's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've brought it out. I thought, but I have it out. Okay.
At the very least, that they are updating their 180-day plans with adjustments that have been made, and they're doing that on a regular basis.
Well, and that's for sure. That was part of the teacher checklist that we don't use anymore, but they should still be updating. It has been said that they need
an
update.
That's the foundation for creating the next year.
But some people actually want to put in the dates and what they're doing, because when it's fresh in your mind, when you just barely taught that concept, that's when it's easiest to put it in. So I applaud our teachers that are so forward-focused, and I feel like that will improve the quality of our program. And then we can focus on the ones who haven't yet. Some of them I've already met with that haven't done, and some of them, though, were assigned the classes late. And so that's just one of the challenges, like some of the ones in the CTE department especially. We didn't have a teacher for the class till a week before school started, and it's just because it's hard to find qualified teachers in the CTE program. And then I did speak with Charles Strong too, and I think on some of the other ones, but I'll just make sure the summary gets more updated. But this one is pretty accurate as far as teachers, anything that they have reported. So class two, some of them have made major updates and changes even after they turned it in, but the whole point is to have something to change, if you're going to make changes. That's fine. We tell them it's not set in stone. We expect it to change throughout the year. feel like if we can have it done earlier on, then we can be a lot more prepared for the start of school. We tried, our registration was a lot better this year. The parents were able to obtain a lot more information. If Power School had been up and functioning, teachers would have had their syllabi and everything in Power School rather than printed syllabi. And I think we'll always still pass out a printed one on the first day of class. But if kids can come in July and get their schedules like they did this year, they got a schedule. They can get their schedule and see in Power School all their syllabi for the whole year and still pick up books. So if we can work out that process a little bit better, then they can be very prepared. So I feel like we are a lot more prepared this year than we were last year, even with some of the bumps and things that we faced.
Concurrent enrollment. For our IDC classes, then of our 117 students that are listed, we're still having a few problems with Power School and training for our new facilitators. But of our students, we have 54% of them that are grading in an A, 25% have a B grade, 3% have a C, 7% have a D, and 0% have an F. So we can see that we need to work on those just a little bit more. We also have in our physics class, then I guess a week or two into the school year, then Snow College has realized that there was a prerequisite math score, math placement for the physics 10-10 class. And so after the kids had already started the class, they came in and told us they were going to have to drop any student that hadn't already had secondary math 3. We did talk to them about it and convinced them to allow our students to take a test and place into it based on the requirement that they had. And so they came in and tested each of our kids. They had up to 5 opportunities to take the test. I think the most, did anyone take it 5 times or was it 4 most? So it might have been 1 or 2 that took it 5.
A couple of them that took it 5.
But of our about 60 kids that took it, just a little bit less than half ended up remaining in the class, and the other ones had to step out and go into a regular physics class. In order to kind of compensate for that, we're looking to see what it would take to offer the AP exam for these kids, because they are wanting that college credit and they're not able to take the college class. For some kids, this was their only college class, and so now they're told that they don't get to take a college class. So we're looking to see if we can beef up the curriculum and teach it as an honors or an AP class and try to help the kids to maybe pass an AP test at the end to earn college credit.
Is that year-long or is that a semester class?
If they're taking the high school course, it'll be a year-long class versus the college class that is a semester. So they will have double time to complete a course, or at least as far as year-long. We've had a few bumps that come across, and so in order to help with that, the October, end of October is about the time that we'll be able to sign up for classes in order to help address the problems that we've had in the past with Snow College and some of the others. Is we're going to have them give us an updated list of number of spots available in their classes the day before we're allowed to sign up for classes. Because with Snow College, they focus on the rural schools, and they allow them to sign up before us now. And so once they're done signing up, once their window is done and our window is going to open, we'll get a list of how many spots are available so we can know at that point what classes we should sign up through Salt Lake Community College. We currently have about 5 classes through Salt Lake Community College that we're sending students to. Carpooling, things are finally starting to streamline and smooth out. But I do see that having a little bit of that knowledge ahead of time is going to help us so that we don't have any more surprises, or not as many surprises, hopefully.
So we may shift more to Salt Lake Community College.
Yeah, and we're looking at hiring or getting our teachers, having our teachers go back to school to get their master's so that they can teach the college classes.
Through SLIC.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Jessica Jenkins is trying to get her English degree at the master's so she can teach the English 10-10 through SLIC. SLIC does require that the teacher teaches on their campus for 2 semesters in order to teach the 2010 at the college or at the high school site. So that might have to be part of her job too, is to go through that. We have Dorothy that's looking at doing the communications, and Victor will be looking into doing the physics. We do have Micah right now teaching the physics, but that is a short-term plan. He's not necessarily, this may be the last semester we have him available. So, but we have Lauren Green teaching the 1050 and 1060 this year, which has been a huge benefit because scheduling those kids into those classes was much easier.
Was this the first year they didn't require a master's in math?
Yes, yeah. So his level 4, level 3 endorsement, and he did have to take an assessment, a test.
He's a level 4.
Level 4. And they did make him take the calculus,
something
calculus
test
that he had to take and pass. And so
calculus, I'm not pretty much.
Yeah. So he did do that, and he qualified, so he is teaching his classes.
That's good.
So.
That's good. Nice to bring them all on board.
And with our student services, we're starting to put together the online packets programs for the online schools that a lot of students are looking at. And Suzanne asked me to look into what it would take to offer online classes through Vanguard. And I don't know if that's something that we need to have approved, if that should be on an agenda for later.
I think it's going to have to be an amendment to our charter if we do that, but I think we need to get the background information to find out what would it take.
And if we're going to amend our charter, would that be the same time that we would want to look at increasing our numbers, if that's something we want to
most likely, yes.
And then also the attendance pieces, looking at running some reports. We don't have those reports today, but it is something that I do look forward to in the future of having that available for you.
Do we know percentage-wise how many of our high school students are taking college classes?
It's about 75%. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but it's pretty high.
Is that ninth grade on up or tenth grade on up?
Ninth on up can take it, but not very many of the ninth graders can take it. So if you look at, your 12th grade students, there's probably 80%, a little higher in the upper grades. 10th grade, it seems like it's about 75%. 9th grade, just a handful.
So those, the schools that scored higher than ours were probably 100%, right? If they're on the campus.
A lot of them don't hold the 9th grade on their campus. They go 10th through 12th.
Yeah. I wonder how many percentage we have that are doing the letter of completion versus the associate's degree versus all those options.
We can get that data and we'll write those down.
Very few looking for the associate.
I think most of them are the certificate of completion.
Yeah.
It's because it's the value is the best bang for its buck versus because it's not that much more difficult for the associates versus
it's,
letter completion.
It's not. You can do the associates, but it's an associate's of general studies.
Not a great advantage over
so they find that they would prefer to just get the certificate, then go to the college campus to take the classes they really do qualify for not to take.
In some cases, that might actually be a disadvantage to get a associates because it will restrict a little bit of your financial aid unless it goes towards a degree you really want, then it would actually be a disadvantage.
Right. So if you could get all the classes through concurrent enrollment that you want, then it's a good situation.
Okay. Okay, anything else on that? Okay, that's the end of the agenda. Motion to close, unless there's further discussion.
I'll make a motion to close.
Second motion.
All in favor of closing the board meeting, say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, say no. Okay, it is officially closed.
Good.